Good morning. My name is Cora, and I no longer have a beard. If you were here last week, I made mention that I had a beard, and it was the first time I've ever preached, ever had a beard in my life, that I've grown to that length. And I told you, I warned you. I just said, it's getting to that grooming stage, and it's probably not going to be around long, and sure enough, it's gone. And who knows, though, maybe sometime in the next 13 years, I'll grow one out again. There's certainly a cult of beard wearers within Hope. I didn't know this. There's a new population within Hope that's been opened up to me, and they were adamant that I should keep it. I disagreed. So, Lord bless all of you for your choices for man grooming and all that comes with it. We are coming to the end of a sermon series, and you might be wondering what's next. And I am here to tell you, Hope Box is what's next. We kind of came up with this idea as we were talking about getting each of the pastors a chance to preach on something that they're passionate about, have experience in. And we thought soapbox was not quite the imagery we wanted to go for. We were looking for just a little different manner, and so somehow we arrived at Hope Box. And so each pastor over the next 6 weeks is going to get a chance to preach on something that they are excited about, passionate about, have experience in. And so stay tuned over the next 6 weeks for that. But we are coming to the end of Colossians. This is the 25th and final message. Here, I want to give a quick recap in two slides. So first and foremost, as is true of the Bible, as is true of every book of the Bible, the preeminent, the priority, the biggest, greatest, first and foremost message is about Jesus and his work of redemption, of drawing people to himself. If you remember the great story of the Bible, creation, Genesis 1 and 2, God creates everything, and it's good. And then Genesis 3 happens, and all of a sudden it's not good. Sin enters the world, and death through sin. And so from that point on, God is constantly working to bring about reconciliation and redemption, wholeness with it, where there's brokenness, where people have been cast out from one another in relationship. God is bringing unity, and that comes chiefly through Christ and through what he has done on the cross, but not only staying dead, he has risen to life again, and it shows that the greatest power, the greatest force in this world is Jesus, that Jesus is stronger than death, that Jesus can overcome death, that Jesus can overcome sin and its consequences. The greatest consequence of sin is death, and Jesus has overcome the grave. And so I want to draw your attention to Colossians 1:15-20. We, you know, in these six verses, somehow we squeezed it into four sermons over four different Sundays, but it reads this way: the Son, Jesus, is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. For God was pleased to have his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. Amen. That'll preach. Four different messages. And so if you're new to church, new to Christianity, start here. Start with just dwelling on, thinking on who Jesus is. Because truly, friends, that is the most important qualifier of you, is what do you say? What do you think about when you think about God and his son, Jesus? That far exceeds any other designation you could give yourself. And we're going to see that even in today's passage. What matters to the writer of this letter is not what your income is, what you do for a job, the different relationships. What's number one is, how do you respond to God? And then what difference does that make in your life? To put the book, whole book in a nutshell, I came up with this: in Christ you are, seek him you must. Just if Yoda were to write this book, shorten it dramatically, That's the message. Know that you are in Christ. How? Through faith, by God's grace. And because that's true, seek him you must. You have the opportunity and the responsibility to seek him in all things. And that brings us to our passage for today, the end of the book of Colossians. Let me read it for us. Tychicus will tell you all the news about me. The me there is the Apostle Paul who wrote the letter. He is a dear brother, a faithful minister, and fellow servant in the Lord. I am sending him to you for the express purpose that you may know about our circumstances and that he may encourage your hearts. He is coming with Onesimus, our faithful and dear brother, who is one of you. They will tell you everything that is happening here. My fellow prisoner, Aristarchus, sends you his greetings, as does Mark, the cousin of Barnabas. You have received instructions about him, that's Mark. If he comes to you, welcome him. Jesus, who is called Justice, also sends greetings. These are the only Jews among my co-workers for the kingdom of God, and they have proved a comfort to me. Epaphras, who is one of you and a servant of Christ Jesus, sends greetings. He is always wrestling in prayer for you, that you may stand firm in all the will of God, mature and fully assured. I vouch for him that he is working hard for you and for those at Laodicea and Hierapolis. Our dear friend Luke, the doctor, and Demas sends greetings. Give my greetings to the brothers and sisters at Laodicea and to Nympha and the church in her house. After this letter has been read to you, see that it is also read in the church of the Laodiceans, and that you in turn read the letter from Laodicea. Tell Archippus, see to it that you complete the ministry you have received in the Lord. I, Paul, write this greeting in my own hand. Remember my chains, grace be to you. And so that might not sound all that compelling, like, oh, these are actually just greetings. There's no imperatives, no commands, no watch out for this and do this like we've had throughout the book of Colossians. These are just interpersonal greetings. And so we have to ask the question, you know, how can final greetings in an ancient letter be God's word for us today? That's just a worthwhile question. And at Hope, we read through the Bible and we take all of it as God's word. We trust that God wants to use it for our good. And so we're not going to skip over different parts of letters. And so if you've been keeping along with us, other places, we could have skipped over it for sake of convenience or ease, or, ooh, that's a tough topic, and so let's just kind of glide past that and we'll jump ahead. We don't do that. We just kind of take a book and read through it and walk through it. But we have to ask the question, how can these final greetings be used of God for our benefit, right? Because if you see a different part of one of Paul's letters, he's like, hey, remind that guy to bring my scrolls to me. It's like, that's not God's command to you, right? Like, so, but we have to understand, how can that be God's word for us? Because certainly we're not to be like looking for scrolls, and when we find scrolls, like, these might be Paul's. We should grab them just in case, you know? So I want to walk through the passage, make a couple comments, but I want to end with seven observations based on names that are shown here, how they're described, and then kind of infer what that might mean for us as a church community, as a church family. And I want to end by kind of sharing some of my own greetings, or I reached out to the staff and I just said, hey, give me some names. I want to greet some people and thank some people and highlight some people. And so I got names back from the staff. And so that's kind of how we'll end today's time. Let me jump back to the beginning of our passage. All the while, you as a listener are just saying, God, what do you have for me in this? God, what do you have for our church in this? How can this be God's word for us today? So jumping back to the beginning, Tychicus will tell you all the news about me. How do we know that to be true? Well, he is an associate of Paul's, and he's actually called Tychicus the Traveler, because he is somebody who travels with Paul. He went to, if you remember in Acts 15, they're going to, or different parts of Acts, they're going to grab up a collection and bring it, I guess that's 2 Corinthians, end of 2 Corinthians. They're going to take a collection back to Jerusalem because there's a famine going on. Tychicus was a part of that group, part of Paul's traveling group, but then he takes letters of Paul's and bring them to different places. And so he's in a good spot to be able to kind of share the news of what Paul's going through as he's imprisoned right now, and he's going to bring this letter to the group at Colossae in the city and the church there. It says he's a dear brother, a faithful minister, a fellow servant in the Lord, and that kind of that group of words is used very sparingly by Paul. This is a real close associate, a close friend, a dear brother. He says, I'm sending him to you for the express purposes that you may know about our circumstances and that he may encourage your hearts, okay? We wouldn't need to do this now. This is foreign to us because we have the internets and we can just kind of send stuff out real quick and get a message back. So maybe just think like an ambassador, like one ambassador going from one country to another to kind of share a communal greeting. Like we bring blessing, we bring grace, we bring peace. And then that kind of head of state or president or queen or whatever would want to send greetings back. And that ambassador brings. That's kind of what is going on with Tychicus, the traveler. I thought about doing alliterations for all of them, and then I decided very quickly, no, because it got too difficult. So, Tychicus the traveler, all right, that's all you get. Next, he is coming with Onesimus, our faithful and dear brother, who is one of you. They will tell you everything that is happening here. So they're going to bring updates, but what do we know about Onesimus? There is another book of our Bible called Philemon. Philemon was a master who had servants, who had slaves, one of whom was Onesimus, until Onesimus stole and ran away. He fled, and he ran directly into Paul. And Paul has shared the gospel with him. He shared the good news, the message of Jesus Christ, and Onesimus has responded to that message, so much so that Paul is saying, you know what? It's time for you to return and to face up to what happened. And Paul sends a letter. The letter is written to Philemon, this master of the house. And in so doing, he asks Philemon to receive Onesimus back, not as a servant only, not as a slave, but as a brother in Christ. And I want to hit a couple verses from that letter here. It says this, perhaps the reason he, Onesimus, was separated from you, Philemon, for a little while was that you might have him back forever. No longer as a slave, but better than a slave, as a dear brother. He is very dear to me, Paul says, but even dearer to you, both as a fellow man and as a brother in the Lord. So if you consider me a partner, welcome him as you would welcome me. If he has done you any wrong or owes you anything, charge it to me. I, Paul, am writing this with my own hand. I will pay it back. Not to mention that you owe me your very self. I do wish, brother, that I may have some benefit from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in Christ. So Paul loves. He's come to love Onesimus. And he sends kind of Onesimus back with this letter for the church, the Colossians, but also for Philemon who is there and where Onesimus had been previously. And Paul says, you can exercise your faith, Philemon. You can show your faith by receiving this brother back. Why? Because of what Christ has done. Paul says, refresh my faith. Refresh my relationship with Christ. Show me that God is working in your heart. How? By a very physical, tangible way. Receive this brother into your fellowship, into your family. Continuing on here. My fellow prisoner, Aristarchus, sends you his greetings. We don't know a ton about Aristarchus. Five different mentions in our Bibles. And there's two things. He hangs out with Paul a lot. Okay, so he's a co-worker, an associate. But then also, he's imprisoned with Paul. Like, guilt by association. Like, oh, well, you're with him. And it says that they grabbed Aristarchus and Gaius. Like, oh, you're with him? Like, okay, you guys are going to prison too. So, like, you can tell his faith matters. And he's willing to be imprisoned. He's willing to lose out on freedom for the sake of this gospel and being associated with Paul and his ministry. It says, he sends you greetings, as does Mark. Long backstory with Mark. You can see more about him and his gospel. But also, there's a story. There's a relational friction that happens between Paul and Mark, and we're going to come back to that. But by this point, look at this, in the parentheses there, you have received instructions about him. If he comes to you, welcome him. That's a way for Paul saying, hey, we buried the hatchet. There was a friction, there was a fight, that we had a sharp disagreement. I'll read that in a minute. But now you have new instructions. You are to receive him back. Welcome him if he comes to you. And then Jesus, who is called Justice, also sends greeting. And this is common. If you were a Jewish person, okay, it was common for you to adopt a second name. either a Latin or a Greek name. And so that was just kind of a common cultural deal at that time. So Jesus, Jesus, not Jesus Christ, but Jesus, oh, who is he? The one who's called Justice, also sends greetings. These are the only Jews among my co-workers for the kingdom of God, and they have proved a comfort to me. So this group of three represents kind of Paul's fruit in going and sharing in the Jewish synagogue. He shares the message of Jesus, and he has now found benefit in this group to accompany him as he continues to share the gospel. But it's a small group that have responded. That word Jews there is literally circumcision. These three are the only of the circumcision group, those who have been circumcised, are part of the Jewish family here. About this, David Garland says, in the context of Jewish opposition in Colossae, however, it is likely that Paul wants to remind them that some Jews, whom they know or know about, have been willing to throw aside their religious entitlements for the sake of gospel, for the sake of Jesus, in which there is no Jew nor Greek, circumcised or uncircumcised. They also serve with him in his mission among the Gentiles. Okay, so one of the things that this church had been facing were people saying, you have to live this way. You have to go through this religious observance. You have to have this ceremony if you really want to show that you are a religious group. And Paul won't have any of that. It's all about Christ. The cross unites us. No matter what your background is, no matter your ethnic heritage, the cross unites us. And Paul wants to make that abundantly clear so that should there be Jewish believers coming to this group that's largely pagan background, that they will still maintain unity because of Christ, because of the gospel. Continuing on here through our little journey through the names and the friends and the relationships here, Epaphras, who is one of you, and a servant of Christ Jesus, sends greetings. He is always wrestling in prayer for you that you may stand firm in all the will of God, mature and fully assured. I vouch for him that he is working hard for you and for those at Laodicea and Hierapolis. We don't get a lot about Epaphras, okay? But we know from verses 7 and 8 of chapter 1 of this book that this is the one who shared Jesus with this city. He's the one that went forward and shared the truth, shared the message, shared about the cross of Jesus Christ. And so clearly, he has a relationship with them. And Paul mentioning Epaphras helps gain him some credence for his message and for the rest of the book. Continuing on, it says, our dear friend Luke, who's Luke? He's the doctor. He's the one that wrote the Gospel of Luke and the book of Acts. And so, you know, a huge part of our New Testament, nearly one quarter of our New Testament is associated to Luke as the author, and Demas send greetings. Don't get much more than that here. He says, give my greetings to the brothers and sisters at Laodicea, to Nympha and the church in her house. So we got brothers and sisters, we got Nympha. Rare for the New Testament, rare for these writers to share about a female. So this would have likely meant she was had some wealth and her house was used for gatherings. Might have been a widow, which is why we might not see a husband's name here. And so just to highlight a little bit of their background for you. Verse 16, after this letter has been read to you, see that it is also read in the church of the Laodiceans and that you in turn read the letter from Laodicea. Some commentators think that that's actually the book of Ephesians. Can't know for sure. Don't know if it's a letter that we lost. But just so you know, here's where we're at in the world. So you can see the boot of Italy up there. You can see Greece. We're kind of down there on what's called Asia Minor a lot of times, and down to your lower right is Israel, Jerusalem, the hubbub of spiritual fervor. But the gospel's working its way north and westward. And then let me just zoom in on the highlighted area there. And you can see Colossae, Laodicea, and Hierapolis, kind of 15 miles or so connected to one another. Ephesus, about 120 miles away. And so Paul's just saying, hey, share this. Share this with the family. Share this with the church. Share this with the community. Let these words be circulated for all the people to hear. One more here, one more person. Tell Archippus, see to it that you complete the ministry you have received in the Lord. This is hilarious, okay? You go into commentaries about Archippus, and just all all these speculations about, oh, I know what his ministry was, and then they kind of share for three paragraphs what they think his ministry, what Paul was referring to, and why they think it. Okay, you just go to all these commentators and theologians, and they speculate. And then if you actually do a New Testament search, like a Bible word search, where do we find that name, Archippus, in our Bible? Two spots, right? Right here, tell Archippus, see to it that you complete the ministry you received in the Lord. And then once in Philemon 2, also to Apphia, our sister, and Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church that meets in your home. That's it. That's all we get about Archippus. But people are like speculating, writing all these pages about it. And then you might think, oh, but there's a little S, a little E by his name. What if we click on that? It just references the other verse that he's found in. There's like no more help. But theologians feel like, no, I know what it was. I know what his ministry was. I know what Paul's referring to. You don't. But we know that he's obviously an associate, a fellow soldier. He's called there by Paul in the book of Philemon. That brings us to our final verse here. I, Paul, write this greeting in my own hand. Remember my chains. Grace be with you. And so grace is how he began the letter. Grace is how he ends. But there's this just quick reference. Remember my chains. Paul is imprisoned as he writes this letter, as he tries to share and bless the church that meets at Colossae. It's a reality in different parts of the world, even now, that our brothers and sisters in the faith will experience persecution, imprisonment, even death, because they bear the name of Christ. Not based on how wealthy or how poor they are. Not necessarily only on their ethnic heritage, though that might play into it. But they bear the name of Jesus. And so Paul says, remember, don't forget that. We share our faith at great personal cost. And so I come back to the question that I began with. How can final greetings in an ancient letter be God's word for us today? Some of those phrases and some of the background that I gave with you, it might be helpful for some of you. Others, you're still looking for some. What do we do with this? What do we do with these greetings? And I want to give you seven observations, seven things for you to think about that could be important to your life, might be important to our church, could be important for your work environment. You are to be bearers of the name of Christ where you work, with your coworkers, with your neighbors. And so I want us to just take time to think about this list of names, some of the descriptions, and how it might impact our world, our church, your community, your small group. Number one, there are Jews and non-Jews present within Paul's coalition. This is Paul's group, right? These are his co-workers. He's doing ministry with them. And there are Jews and non-Jews. Okay? We need to consider that. Different ethnicities, different races, different backgrounds, working side by side together for the gospel. Already shared it once. Bears worth repeating. The gospel is foremost. It's number one. How we look at God and look at Christ is number one, and therefore that allows us to cross different boundaries. No matter how different your background, your experience, we could meet somebody for the first time and feel a unity because we are brothers or sisters in Christ. And where there's disunity, it's not because God is short in doing his work. Ephesians 2 is very clear. The dividing wall of hostility has been torn down through the body of Christ. So we already have unity spiritually. Now it's part of the work of believers to bring forth a horizontal unity that might escape us physically, in reality. I'm going to mention three men who've been a part of trying to help Hope with this in a moment in the greetings. That's number one. Number two, there are men and women serving the church in Colossae. Paul mentions one here. He mentions some in Philemon, end of Romans, men and women working side by side, serving, laboring. Why? So that the gospel might be number one. At different places in our culture, it is seen tangibly that men are here and women are here. As people of the Bible, as people of the Word, as Christian people, we can't support that. We can't neglect that. This discrepancy, we need to recognize and to preach to ourselves and where God would give us opportunity to remind others of the equality, because every person is fully created and bears the image of God. 100%. It's not like men are 50%, women are 50%, and together we may. No. Each of you that can hear my voice, 100% bear the image of God. And therefore, we as a people have to be reminding ourselves that what is true spiritually should be fought for culturally, socially, relationally. We work side by side for the greatest good, that Christ would be shown worthy. And we can show that tangibly in our interactions with one another. Number three, Onesimus is first and foremost a brother in Christ. Paul goes 15 verses in the book of Philemon before he recognizes and gives voice to what Philemon already knows, what Paul already knows, and what Onesimus already knows, that he's a servant, that he's a slave under his master Philemon. He goes 15 verses. He got 15 verses that he needs to get out there that are more important than kind of his earthly title, his earthly place. Paul's designations here and other places are spiritually driven, spiritually motivated, not to neglect or ignore those differences, but to show that Christ and the gospel can overcome such differences, that those differences shouldn't result in a break of fellowship, diminish friendship. Paul is Onesimus' spiritual father. He has so much love for him. We've already read this at a point in Colossians, but in chapter 3, verse 11, we read this: there is no Gentile or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, which just means savage, slave or free, but Christ is all and is in all. Christ is all. Is that your mindset? Is that your heart set? My guess is there's some sort of distinction, some sort of difference between you and someone in your life, whether in your church life, your small group life, or somebody outside the church, outside of Christianity. But because of the gospel, we love. We care for, we share our lives with them. It is hard. My wife, we've had conversations last week. We're meeting people and connecting the community, and some of that comes through different friendships and relationships and sports and this and that, and having conversations like, oh, what should we do when we're kind of faced with that? It's a type of behavior that we might not get with our small group. So how do we respond to that? How do we show love? How do we show that we're with them, that we're for them, and yet we really struggle with what we see here and there? It's not easy to love, but we're called to love, to care well for those in our spheres. Number four, there already has been conflict and need for reconciliation within this list of names. I don't want us to be under this kind of impression, this incorrect assumption that if we get into Christian community, all will go well. No. We will hurt one another, wrong one another. That happened, right? And so let me jump back there in Acts 15. Sometime later, Paul said to Barnabas, "Let us go back and visit the believers in all the towns where we preach the word of the Lord and see how they are doing." Barnabas wanted to take John, also called Mark, oh, there he is, with them. But Paul did not think it wise to take him because he had deserted them in Pamphylia and had not continued with them in the work. They had such a sharp disagreement that they parted company. Barnabas took Mark and sailed for Cyprus, but Paul chose Silas and left. Commended by the believers to the grace of the Lord, he went through Syria and Cilicia, strengthening the churches. So Paul and Barnabas, they had become brothers in the faith and co-workers in the Lord, have a sharp disagreement about this Mark guy. Mark had deserted them. Mark had shown him faithful in the ministry with Barnabas so that Paul could say, "I forgive, I welcome him back. We are reconciled. So if he were to come to you in Colossae, welcome him." It's an important part, important distinction within Christian community, that we can forgive one another and move on. Friends, some of you, you're in that spot and it's hard to just forgive. Five, Demas walked away from Paul and potentially the Lord. Some speculate why, you know, Demas sends greetings and that's all kind of the two spots that he's listed by Paul and kind of sharing. That's all he gives them. Is that because he sensed something was happening? We don't know. But after this fact, later in their life together, Demas seemingly walks away from the church and from the Lord. It says in 2 Timothy 4, he's saying this to Timothy, "Do your best to come to me quickly, for Demas, because he loved this world, has deserted me and has gone to Thessalonica." This is a warning to us. Friends, some of the hardest moments for me as a pastor are the people's stories that they used to be here, but they're not here anymore. And they're not here because they went with one of our church plants, or they're overseas serving the Lord, or God, you know, stage life has carried them somewhere else, to a job, to a city, somewhere else. But they've walked away from our church and possibly the Lord. This is a warning for us to guard our lives, our families, our faith, our small group, to go after one another, that you, if you see, if you sense somebody straying, to run after them. Why? Because the most important thing about them is their relationship with God. Number six, already mentioned this, Paul and others shared the gospel at great personal cost. Some of you are sharing your faith at great personal cost. Your family has thrown you out. They've neglected you. They don't want you back because you're a believer. Or they undermine your faith at every turn. They joke about you. They laugh. Sometimes you're at faith, sometimes when you're not there and you hear about it. Others have taken this message overseas at great personal cost, leaving family, friends. If you are considering that, I praise God that you're considering going overseas as a missionary. I pray that that comes to fruition. It is at great personal cost that you do so. And yet, how awesome. Number seven, church is a team sport. Can I put it that way? Church is a family thing. It's not just one person on stage, or I counted 10 instrumentalists. That's awesome. 10 getting down. We need you. Church is a family. Church is a team sport. And so in kind of like fashion, I want to thank God, like Paul says at the start of his letter, we thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, because we've heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love you have for all God's people. And I just want to close kind of somehow, you know, how the message gets portrayed. You can just kind of do it the same way. And so he gave some greetings, so I'm just going to kind of close with some greetings. And to do so, I threw it out to the staff earlier this week, like, "Hey, help me write my sermon." And so I just said, I want one name. just one name of somebody that has been serving and loving on the body, you know, in some form or fashion, and you just want to, you want to bless them, you want to thank God for them publicly. I hope. Not everybody's going to get mentioned. It's okay if your name doesn't get mentioned, right? I mean, if Paul forgot somebody, they were left out of the Bible. But if I leave you out, you're just left out of a mediocre sermon. Like, there's no great loss in that, right? So, just, will we get participation ribbons? Just, can somebody just run to the back, get some participation ribbons? No. This comes from, 12, 14, 15 staffers that respond. That means that there's like another 15 that didn't respond that are just like, I'm on summer. So let me just share some of these as a way of encouragement and as a way of closing. Mariah Musil and Jairus Justice, diligently taking anyone and everyone out for coffee through the coffee ministry, making hope a welcoming, less intimidating place to get connected. Both are also rock star small group leaders. Bradford Bisbee, he is on our treats team and goes above and beyond. He tells the interns like me about shortage of supplies and spends first service making coffee and preparing for second service. He goes above and beyond every month to serve Hope, and he's only been around Hope for a bit more than a year, so praise God. I'm so thankful, another person, I'm so thankful for how Benji Matthews, Billy Mazenga, Nathan Vanderlaan, and others have led our community in conversations regarding the gospel and race. Tim LaBurge has faithfully and humbly served the worship team for 9 years, laying down the sweet, sweet bass. I know you said a person, but I would like to say, I said one person. They can't even stick to it. I know you said a person, but I would like to say the women's events team. I can't choose one person, smiley face. These women were always full of smiles and joy, making sure women felt welcome and cared for at each event. This next one, with picture. Stephanie Kuka. She didn't have an easy last name like me, like Shimoleski, so I hope that's how it's pronounced. Uses her mad baking skills to foster community as she celebrates with the people and their small group she leads. Not bad, huh? Like that. Lori Dubay and Brianne Galloway always have been faithfully loving and investing in the kids of Hope by teaching Sunday school. Together, they have served our families for over 17 years. Big thanks to you and to all the amazing teachers. Delia Splan is a sneaky superhero, silently collecting an endless supply of dirty towels and washcloths, washing them each week and returning them to the kitchen drawers in neat little stacks. That's awesome. They agree, sneaky superhero. Benji Matthews generously gives his time and his knowledge to serve LDI Off-Road and has really helped make the program what it is today. Tom Heidman, serving to greet the people of Hope with a smile and a kind word on many, many a Sunday morning. I love the way Chris Peterson leads. It was actually misspelled. It was Christ Peterson, but I know him. He's he's great. He's not Jesus, but I love the way Chris Peterson leads our softball team, making sure that we pray for one another every week after the games. I'm encouraged as I see Jairus faithfully care for Hope youth consistently with the love and grace of Christ. Dave Johnson has continually used his God-given talents to provide guidance, support, and hands-on assistance to many building maintenance issues. Tim LaBurge and Tom Thoe have been faithfully working with junior hires for a long time and have the ability to connect with them in such an amazing way and how they can bring the gospel effortlessly into their interactions. Effortlessly. I'll have to talk to them. That's great. I want that. Andrea Doherty has faithfully served in youth ministry for 5 years, encouraging young women to follow Jesus. I could send you 15 youth leaders who faithfully share not only the gospel, but their lives with young men and women. Jamie Christie, faithfully serving by helping coordinate perspectives and getting people connected to unreached people groups in the Twin Cities. Ben Reeves has been sharing his writing and editing talents with the small group writing ministry for numerous years, offering wisdom and expertise to a niche ministry at Hope. Alan Thorpe is so passionate about developing mentors for women and encouraging them as they walk with others in their relationship with Jesus. And then one more. I look at Lauren and Drew Elric as amazing representatives of all the 205 people who faithfully
and lovingly lead small groups at Hope. Praise God. Hope Community, I thank God for you, all the different ways you are serving and ministering to the people of Hope, but beyond, caring for our city, overcoming boundaries that is holding our communities back. Continue to serve Jesus. Make him number one in your own lives, and then be salt and light for those around you. Let's pray together. God, this book, this series on Colossians, may we remember Christ in all. Jesus, you're everything. You are Lord and Savior. You are God, our King. And so as we have received Christ, may we walk in you, may we live in you, may we move and have our being in you. I pray for each person in here, some maybe who are still learning about the message of Jesus, learning about the implications for Jesus hanging on a cross, dying for sin, and being raised to new life. Pray for that person. God, help them. Help their minds to stretch and to better understand those words and that truth. God, for those who've been walking with you for some time, I pray that they would continue to live their lives in Christ. Guard someone, even here, that might be thinking of walking away from this truth, from this community. Protect them, God. And for others, God, that they would continue to bless and be a blessing to those in their spheres of relationships. May the name of Jesus be what we're known for. May the character of Christ come through us to a watching world. Pray this for your glory, and in Jesus' name, amen.